Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
News 24 this morning, leading with South Africa headed for stricter measures possible, lockdown level 2 as the MAC raises alarm. Ministerial advisory committee members are calling for increased COVID-19 restrictions as the third wave looms. Joining us on the line this morning is Professor Barry Shubb. A very good morning. Thanks for speaking to us on such short notice. How are you doing?
Well, thanks. Oh, thank you.
The thing that bothers me a bit is why are people still talking about this third wave looming? Isn't it here? Aren't we in the middle of it? You know, don't we just have to acknowledge it, deal with the reality, be more cautious and not talk about it, that it's coming?
The mathematical modelers have now got quite a bit of experience from the previous two waves to kind of look at what metrics really we need to look at to actually define the third wave. It still is a bit arbitrary because now clearly, you know, mathematics is what you put into is what you get out of it.
Sure.
But what they have got from previous experiences is that they've got various metrics. I'll give you some examples. Mm. Now, if the test positivity, for example, exceeds 10%, well, we're now 9.9%. We're not quite there. I'm talking about a national level.
Right.
Or currently a sustained increase. Well, there has been a sustained increase over the last week. Or if you look at, for example, the 7-day moving average, if that reaches 30% of the previous wave, the previous wave was the second wave, which was a very large wave. Mm. And we're quite a bit low below that. We're actually 2,800 cases, but that's about 5,000 infections. But 5,000 infections is still not quite a third of the second wave, but is a third of the first wave. So we kind of like on the borderline if you look at those metrics. And those metrics seem to be kind of fairly predictive going on the first two waves. So we're kind of hovering. We're nearly there.
Either way, do you think that even if we change our behavior right this moment, we could prevent it?
I don't think we can prevent the third wave. I think it's coming because, there's the kind of ground, the kind of foundational infections. There's the incubation period of 2 weeks. So it's going to morph into the third wave. Mm. But certainly if our behaviors, we can modify the extent of the third wave. And I think it's probably not going to be as big as a second wave, not as intense as a second wave, maybe more like the first wave. But depending on human behavior, we can kind of reduce the intensity, sure.
What I'm seeing anecdotally is a tremendous amount of spread amongst our kids, amongst our youth. Does that signify that this variant is different, or just simply because kids are at school, everybody's been perhaps a little bit more lax, not perhaps, people have been more lax, in terms of behavior, and that's why it is now circulating through the kids?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it is behavior, which is why it's circulating through the kids. But it's interesting because certainly the clinicians are certainly noticing that it is affecting a younger age group. Now, it's difficult at this stage. First of all, we need to kind of establish that. As at the moment, it's just conjecture. But if it is so, we need to try and find out why is it so. And I suppose one can speculate various things. Now, it could be residual immunity. It could be that the older folk, of course, are now being vaccinated, as well as having experienced the infection previously. We know that severe infection, you do get a better immunity. So there may be the older folk are certainly building up some kind of immunity. But, you know, that's just speculation. There's no hard data on that.
Right. But either way, the message is the reality is nothing's changed in the sense that we do know what prevents spread.
And that is
social distancing. It is a reduction of social events. It is masks. It's all of those things that everyone has been going on about for over a year now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is it. You know, look, there is COVID fatigue. People are getting tired. You know, it's hard to kind of keep that motivation up, but unfortunately, that's what we got at the moment. Until we reach herd immunity, we have to rely on these non-pharmaceutical interventions, you know, these infection prevention things. They are bothersome. They are kind of impinging on our enjoyment of life. But at this stage, this is all that we have got to prevent the virus from circulating in the community.
Right. I just want to switch subject slightly because it's a very personal thing because I'm asking you for a personal favor here. I'm getting into more and more arguments with young women who are telling me that they are concerned about having the vaccine because of fertility. I've tried to explain to them, if you're dead, then you definitely can't have kids. Sure. That argument hasn't worked. Can you please talk to this myth that that the vaccine impacts fertility?
Well, I can on a purely scientific. You know, there's absolutely no evidence biologically, medically, how it can do it. You know, these vaccines are either a bit of RNA which gets rapidly degraded in cells, doesn't remain behind, or it's a bit of RNA and a carrier virus which also is inactivated. So these things go into the muscle of your arm, and it remains there. It cannot spread to anywhere else in your body, and therefore cannot affect, it's impossible biologically to affect fertility. So that's a complete myth. Absolutely. There's no evidence for it. It's never been seen. It's not been seen in animal experiments, not been seen in human observations, and biologically it's impossible.
How does this sort of nonsense, because it really is that, how does it even come about? Where does it start? Can you ever trace where this comes from?
You know, Howard, it's just so easy to start a rumor like that. We've got this vehicle called social media. And it's one of the banes, I suppose it's one of the advantages as well, of our civilized life in 2021. But it's got pros and cons, and the con is this, that it's an uncensored, unrestricted form of communication. So you can start anything and it can spread like wildfire because it is just so pervasive.
Okay, so as we wrap up, the message around the third wave is very simple, is even if we are not in it mathematically, we're at the cusp. Either there or not there, but we're there. We're not going to be able to prevent it from happening, but we can prevent spread within our own families, our own communities, with our parents, with our grandparents, with everybody around us, and that means changing behavior, and it's exhausting, and everybody feels the same, but we don't actually have a choice. Would you agree with that as the message?
1,000%. I think you put it extremely well. Exactly that. We have to depend for a little bit long. It's going to be this year, but hopefully next year we won't. We'll be now back to our pre-COVID existence if we all put our shoulder to the wheel, we all cooperate.
And that's where we leave it. Professor Barry Shubb, thank you for taking the time to speak to us, bringing us the latest information on the third wave.